Track completes the full-service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning. Learn more at countrylifefarm.com.
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day of the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series, yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
Your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them, is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews.
Hour three on this Tuesday. That can only mean Andy Serling of the New York Racing Association. Good morning.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. The first order of business, because I know Hammer is listening, and I'm sure he wants to compare notes. The Bob Weir concert, he saw the show in Nashville, and it looked like you had a great time the other night.
I did. That's what we're going to talk about, the Bob Weir show.
Yes. You know, and is it...
Things I do in my personal time? Okay.
Yes, we want that. Believe me, everyone is more interested than you know.
Yeah, I'm sure. They're all losers, and they all really care what I do in my personal life.
Well, they want to know about your commute.
That's how Ricky can text me.
All right. Well, it did. It looked like...
He could also probably watch the show for himself online. Somewhere, right?
I mean, live or how quickly did they?
I think the Radio City shows were actually like pay per view show, whatever they call it. You know,
yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yep, it was fun.
Nice. I saw you. Well, you treated everybody to some.
I put up two pictures on Twitter. Yeah, it was a huge night for me. real multimedia experience for me. That's putting up two pictures in the show.
Well, I'm telling you, people do want to know.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
The picture's got like 8 likes on Twitter. Trust me, people aren't that interested.
It is amazing, actually, when either you or Hammer. The ones I notice most readily, I talk to you weekly, obviously, on and off the air, but it does seem like there's a strong racing-based crossover to Dead and the Dead and Company shows.
Somewhere around one out of 1,000 of my followers shown interest. Not sure how big a crossover that is, but, you know, people are interested in all sorts of things, sports and, you know, race, you know, racing and music and whatever. I mean, a lot of people in racing are older, so they were around the great
old. Yes, that too.
Really, you know,
that's a good point.
I think you're making a slightly bigger deal out of it than it is, but okay.
I'm not even a huge Dead fan, but I'm interested.
That's your loss.
Well, I enjoy. I don't think I don't. I would absolutely. I've been Saratoga. I've gone to 2 Dead and Company shows.
Okay, you don't have to sell me on it one way or the other.
I know you'll be shocked and surprised and bitterly disappointed, but I was headed down there tomorrow afternoon to broadcast Thursday and Friday, but I have now a cardiology appointment's been pushed forward. They called me yesterday and asked.
I'm not going to see you. That's very disappointing.
It's iffy right now. It's iffy. Yeah. Because I was looking forward to it. But I can't miss this because I'm leaving. I'm going to be on the road 3 weeks. So they can't, you know. My heart health comes first.
Well, Steve, we can't afford to lose you.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, so little else, you know.
Well, we are looking forward, no matter what, no matter whether I get down there for Saturday or not, it's certainly shaping up to be a terrific day. And even just focusing on the 3-year-olds, I haven't really followed the Carter potentials, but the 2 3-year-old races are both going to be terrific. The Gazelle looks like 8 right now, and, you know, we've gone over reaching for the Wood group. You and I have alluded to it the last couple of weeks. So it should be a terrific card Saturday. Just hope the weather cooperates.
The weather's supposed to be nice on Saturday.
Oh, good. All right, good. Because whenever I hear of lousy weather in Kentucky ahead of New York.
So lousy in Kentucky this weekend?
Yeah, it's going to be cold and rainy.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah. Open, and that's too bad.
Exactly.
Oh, no, I think our weather's lousy here tomorrow and into Thursday, but it's fine Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Well, then we'll see about how much of the turf gets used. But it's just nice to see turf on the overnights and in PPs.
I agree. I agree. I don't know how many will run Thursday and Friday, but yeah, it's a good allowance race on Friday. I'm sorry that wasn't sort of moved to Sunday, but whatever. I'm looking forward to the weekend a lot. I am. Who are the probables for the Gazelle? I don't even know.
I'll give you the rundown. Venti Valentine, of course.
She's a favorite, right?
Yeah, I would think. Bill Morey's going to bring Shotgun Hottie in here. And Todd.
Who is she? Shotgun Hottie.
She's had a good winter. I think she's won 2 stakes at Turfway.
Well, that's not a dirt, though, right?
No, but she... She might be okay.
Not interested in form from there.
I got you.
Why don't I bring it up? Okay, I'll bring up the...
Yeah, get the...
Shotgun. No, I'm bringing up the past performance.
That's what I'm saying. Hottie. Yeah.
No, Shotgun Honey has been running in Turfway.
Oh, who am I thinking of? Who am I thinking of?
Beaten 7 lengths to Venti Valentine last time.
Who am I... Morey had a filly that's won 2 at...
I don't know, but this is where she ran New York. I know, right? She won the Ruthless with the Tough Trip.
There you go. Okay.
Bad race for the Tough Trip. She ran well. Who else is running?
Classy Edition.
Which Todd Sorsen ran 2nd to Kathleen Ho. Certainly flattered by her race last time. Yeah. Next.
Morning Matcha. Butch Reed. Oh,
okay. Mm-hmm. She's okay.
Bill Mott's got Nostalgic.
Well, that's that slow horse from Godolphin that won allowance race at Gulfstream last time, yeah.
Yeah. How about Mitch Friedman's going to run Carrogate?
Okay.
And I know that nice mare. Another Pletcher, Gratitude.
Oh, yeah. I bet her first start 7-1. She's going to beat a neck on a dead rail. How could I forget her?
And Graham Motion's got Divine Huntress. That looks like the 8.
Oh, I bet that was last time at the fairgrounds. Something went badly wrong. I don't know what it was, but something went really wrong. She's a little interesting. She'd run well at Parks, yeah. I think she's a private purchase for our last star, wasn't she?
Do not recall.
I feel like she was, yeah. She's probably a little interesting. Vince Valentine's a great horse to beat, though. Her last race was terrific. She runs back to that race. She's going to be very tough.
Great.
Okay.
So a nice gazelle, and
who's running in the wood?
The wood, Morello back, of course.
Yeah, I know that.
Mo Donegal.
Yeah.
Early voting.
Yeah.
Barese.
Yeah.
Golden Code for Todd Pletcher. AP's Secret and Skippy Longstocking for Safi Joseph. And we're still awaiting. I didn't see if Kelly Breen had any further news on In Due Time, either here in New York or in Bluegrass.
Well, if it's going to rain there, wouldn't he probably want to come here? I mean, I guess he could enter it both if he wants. Sorry. I think Todd, I thought I read that they're running that maiden, too. A Holy Maiden in there. Of course, it's ran second to the Clarvich horse that's backing on Friday. And your maiden, you think, a command performance, but no, there's another maiden. I can't remember. I just thought long term. I thought long term was supposed to be.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Maybe Dave Grenick's or somebody's. I read it somewhere. In all my reading.
Well, the...
Let's just see what Mo Donegal does in there. You know, I think, you know, we were talking a little about the Arkansas Derby, and you know, I know there's a lot of... In Barber Road, he's getting the imagination of people that like slow horses that suck up in preps. And I think the problem with a horse like Barber Road is he's been getting tremendous trips. He's been getting quick paces and great rides. And getting a piece of bad races. And the reality is, you look at closers in the Derby, horses like Mo Donegal, Zandon, assuming these horses are going to get the points to probably get in there, and Smile Happy, well, he's less of a closer, he's probably a horse that's a little bit closer, but still, they're not forward horses. And you have to ask yourself, well, which one of those horses do you really think he's supposed to be? I mean, I suppose, you know, one or two of them get bad trips and he can get another perfect trip, but he's a horse that's getting very, very good trips, Barber Road. And I'm not trying to knock him, but I'm just trying to put it in reality. It's sort of like the discussion about Classic Causeway, where there's this mass confusion because people tend to want to confuse themselves about horses that they like, and they say, oh, they won with something left. They've got more in the tank. And that's always crap. I mean, that's just utter crap, and it's proven to be crap time and time and time again. Yet people fall on it when they like a horse. And they said, oh, he won those Tampa races really easily. And the truth was that he was setting soft paces in questionable fields. And he's sort of a one-way speed type who was likely to face significant other speed horses in the Derby. So then he went to Florida and he faced other speed types. And he wasn't really competitive. Now, hopefully he's okay. He ran so badly, you do worry a little about that. But I think that, honestly, I think that, assuming he's okay, and I really do hope he is, I think a race at the Florida Derby is probably a very good race for Classic Causeway. Because instead of going to the Derby and forcing a square peg into a round hole, they can reevaluate. They can point the races where he's probably more likely to achieve a grade one, races like the Woody Stevens and the Alan Jerkins. And I think Classic Causeway is a very good horse. I just don't know if he's good enough to be the best horses going long. And I think Barbarone's a really nice horse, but they've been well served by being stabled at Oaklawn, because while there have been years where the Arkansas preps have been extremely strong, this was a year where they were extremely weak. And I think Cyberknight's a nice horse, and I'd like to see him do well for his connections, who I always root for. But the reality is that while he was best on Saturday, and he got a terrific ride as well, it's just not a very good race. And, I mean, you know, that was a race that came up on the, very much on the slow side. And there's an argument that the figure could be much lower than 92 buyer they gave it, and no argument that it could be higher. So I don't really know how you can expect CyberKnife to be competitive against Kappa Centers, and obviously we'll see what happens in these three press, but based on what we've seen from these sources, it's hard to imagine that out of, you know, whether it's Forbidden Kingdom or Messier in California, or Smile Happy or Zandon in Kentucky, or any of early voting, Mo Donegal and Morello in New York, it's hard to imagine that of that group of horses we don't see at least a couple of them.
Yeah.
That like they're real players for the Derby. Now, horses are going to fall by the wayside there too, but I think we'll see at least a couple, two or three, if not more, of those horses emerge as good and better in all likelihood. It doesn't have to happen, but then there's a horse like Epicenter. And I know he's gotten very good trips, Epicenter, but he's got the tackle speed to make them, and he's pretty good. So for CyberKnife to win the Derby, he's going to have to leapfrog over a lot of horses, including potential horses in Florida. Now, I'm going to believe that the White of Arios of the world are going to transfer their form to Kentucky when I see it, but it's not impossible. And I mean, I suppose that Charge It could grow up a lot in the next month, and he's got the right trainer to do it. But he strikes me as a good horse and probably the wrong race. But I still think he's obviously very good. But they both also got very good trips in there. So, you know, Simplification is a good horse too, and he'll probably go back to sitting a little off the pace next time out, though how good will remains to be seen. But I still think if you were to look so far at the preps, it's hard not to say that the races we've seen in Kentucky, I mean in Arkansas, were the weakest so far. Doesn't mean they were bad races, it just means they're weaker than the other ones.
No, it's fair, and you know, this gets into the the realm of figs don't lie.
Yeah, and I, you know, it's this people. We all tend to lie to ourselves and believe things we don't want to believe in life, and we tend to do it sometimes in racing, and sometimes we do it with horses that friends of ours have or horses that we're close to. And I understand. I do it myself sometimes. I try not to, but occasionally you do. But I think you have to take a reasonable sort of broad view of things, and it's hard to be impressed by what we've seen in Arkansas overall. You know, Philly got a terrible ride. It's not a surprise at the end of the day, but and interestingly enough, I think it's really interesting to watch sort of the midpoint of the Arkansas Derby, because they went very quick the first quarter, but they slowed it down dramatically in the second quarter. You can literally see it because the two groups are converging on each other, and that was the moment where two riders made choices. Giroux realized what was going on, and he asked his mount. It took him a few strides to get into gear, but when he did, he moved up, and he found a seam to get the leader. So Giroux made a move, and he had the opportunity to get into a very good spot and give his horse its best chance to win if he could finish. And Contreras, who had already got himself taken out because he allowed, it might have been Barbarotto, somebody to come inside of him going into the turn, where he could have been sitting two wide. He got forced a little three wide, and then he was four wide in between horses, and he was never in a good spot. Then he got himself shuffled back to last, and then as they were doing that, he got himself shuffled out of position. And then, as things quickened a little more, but not as much, he made that big wide move, and she was no worse than second best in there. Probably not best, but certainly not third, not second, not worse than second best. It was not surprising that. There's a reason that experienced trainers with good horses tend to look for more experienced riders. I'm not trying to beat up on the guy who wrote Secret Oath, Louis Contreras, but the reality was he gave her a bad ride, and I'm sure he knows it. And Lucas is going to replace him, I'm sure. And, you know, Wayne is a guy who's replaced people after winning rides. So she'll get a better rider going forward. But I think it's fair to wonder how good she is, because even if he thinks she was best in the Arkansas Derby, so what? Does that really make her as good as these horses in the Derby? I don't think so. Maybe others disagree. I'm sure that some people disagree.
Well, we'll get to the we certainly want to get to the Oaks portion of the discussion. But as you mentioned, the horses that'll come out of this weekend, these three preps, and then frankly the Lexington next Saturday is got real potential too, because well, the Fincher horse, Bye Bye Bobby, has got 20. And
who's Bye Bye Bobby?
The runner-up in the Sunland Derby. And
he's not winning the Kentucky Derby, so I don't care what he does.
Well, but he has the potential to push other horses down and out. Call Me Midnight as well, looking for 20. Dash Attack, and then yesterday...
Let's go back. Call Me Midnight. Remind me who he is, because I think I know who he is.
That's the horse that won the LeCompte.
Oh, okay. He's not that bad. But he's not that good. But he's not that good. He got a good trip that day. Okay.
Well,
and Dash Attack? Well, he's terrible.
Well,
realistically, he's just slow.
I understand
he's
this.
I know he got kind of lucky in the mud. And he ran a good race in the Southwest, but then he's got crushed in subsequent races, right? Or when the Smarty Jones, and they got crushed the next two times, right?
Yeah, and then Rattle and McPeak also yesterday said that Rattle and Roll may participate.
He's slow too, so
in the Lexi.
Another horse that people were in love with is slow.
Okay, I'm trying to lay out that there's as many as, literally as many as seven that could end up parlaying out of this weekend. I mean, Morello already has 50 points. Mo Donegal, 12, so first, second, or third, first or second in particular, get him in. Early Voting has got 10, so,
right.
Xanthan
has a minimal amount of points.
He's got 14.
And Smile Happy has a minimal amount of points, too.
Well, Smile Happy has 30 points.
How's he got 30 points?
He's got 30 points.
Oh, he got 20 for being second and 10 for winning. I was thinking that was a 20-point prep, right? So, what's his name? Got 14 or something, right?
Xanthan. Yes, Xanthan's got 14.
He got 20 because he should have been placed first, but then again, that would mean that Mo Donegal would have like 8. Oh, interesting. Well, it would be unfortunate if some of those horses you named got in over the others, but I guess they, you know, been put into a situation where they have to be successful, you know, run well to be in there.
Yeah, the horses that we have
one too.
And the horses that at the bottom, Grantham. You know, this Grantham that's running has got 21. So really,
right? Yeah. He's not the Derby. Sorry, Kirk. I hate to be rough on my mini golf partner's horse.
Well,
we can take it. He's a big boy.
Pioneer of Medina's got 25, sitting 18th right now, maybe 17th if Classic Causeway doesn't participate.
Classic Causeway can't be going to the Derby after this weekend, can he?
You never know. I mean, how many times have we seen this?
I respect Ryan way more than that.
I understand.
Sometimes owners have more to say about the trainers. So.
Yeah, the two that are in the 20 right now, Papa Cap and Classic Causeway, both, you know.
Papa Cap, your horse.
Yes.
Your number 3 year. Papa Cap is referred to as Steve Bick's Eclipse finalist. He's got a full name. He's like those Lena Vertmore movies from back in the 70s. Long name. Referred to in race calls as Steve Bick's
That's
third
great.
Finalist for the Eclipse Award, Papa Cap.
He's going into the Pat Day Mile, and it sure felt yesterday. As much as I pressed Brian Lynch for an answer, I wasn't getting a definitive no. But it sure felt like it's a no.
Well, he can't give a definitive no at this point, unless the connections have told him that.
I think collectively.
He's not going to run in there. That would be ridiculous.
Seems unlikely.
Yeah, and he's a really good horse, Classic Causeway. I don't want to give the impression, at least in my opinion, he's a really good horse. It's just and have in the past, horses that went on Triple Crown trails were just better and, you know, suited to other races. Doesn't just because you're not, you know, it's like, I wouldn't. You know, the best basketball players couldn't necessarily win a, you know, it's just whatever. It's just depends where you fit.
Well, this will, assuming that Morello doesn't have to, he doesn't have any point need, but Ethereal Road, Smile Happy.
Morello's a funny horse because Ethereal Road's not going to be a factor. I bet him last time he should have won, but still a bad race, even though he ran very well in there. But, Morello is a horse that I feel like Morello is a horse that either he's very much the wrong horse or he's kind of an interestingly possibly the right horse. You know what I mean? Because he's really good, and he's gotten better with every race. And people can talk about distance, distance, distance. Well, every race has gotten it for a long longer. So I'm not sure what the big problem with him potentially as a Derby horse is. You know what I mean? I'm not saying he is, but I mean, he's been good. Has he gotten good trips? Yes. But he's got the speed to put himself in position. He's not a need the lead type. And I mean, when, you know, people want to look at a horse that won within himself, and he was barely asked in the Gotham. And I'm not saying he's going to run a second fast or anything, but his Gotham was a very, very easy win with a solid figure. And I don't think anybody's going to confuse the second place finisher. He's a Derby horse because he's not going to get that far. But I think he's a pretty good sprinter, and I don't know if he's going to run in New York or in Kentucky in one of those 7 furlong races this week. And I imagine he's going to base short of the Lafayette. He's good. And Morello feels like a kind of horse that could win the Wood with a 1-on-1 buyer, and suddenly he's, you know, a major player in this Derby.
Yeah.
And Sebastian suddenly has two. And this one, I think it's nice to see Toby Sheets getting some credit, as he should, because he's the one who's had this horse. And, you know, it's rare that there's going to be a best, you know, a top horse for that barn that's only been spending his time in New York for the most part. So it's nice to see him get a little.
Well, Steve Asmussen has always had kind of let Toby Sheets get credit policy.
He might be one of the few people Steve's afraid of.
that's pretty good. He has so much. He's got confidence in all of his assistants.
But get to where Steve is in any of these trainers, especially Steve was an operation, which you've got good assistants. And I mean, people that aren't familiar. Yeah, Steve Ashman and Scott Wazzy are in Saratoga, but for the, you know, all the New York horses, Toby's been charging them for a long time.
Who? I'm trying to think of that horse that he's got. That horse that he bred too. That operates out of the barn. That he's had success with.
I think you're right. But I'm sure you're right. You're always right.
Yeah, he does a tremendous job. It's an interesting group, and let's turn our attention, since you brought up Secret Oath, and since she is gonna, you know, face fellow sophomore fillies, let's talk about who may have come out of the weekend at the top of the pecking order, and that's Kathleen O. When it comes to this group. The Oaks, Andy.
I have a question. Is there any way that Echo Zulu is not favored in the Oaks?
I was going to bring this up. Yesterday, I said I'm anxious for Andy's thoughts on this.
A boring line maker.
I understand, but you got a good feel. You have a good feel for this.
I think it's very hard for her not to be favored. But clearly, you know, off the last race, Kathleen O's got a lot going for her. She knows going to have a lot of a bandwagon, too, don't forget. And, you know, we'll see what Benji Valentine does this weekend in Gazelle, but she looked great in her return race. And if she can build on that, you know, and people can say, oh, the Gazelle, well, the Gazelle winner almost won the Kentucky Oaks last year, and that's not to say the one year or the next, but it's not like it's a race that can't produce good horses. And the Closed Hatches won the Gazelle, right? And even the second place finisher, Maracuja, has gone and do good things. They had a nice return.
That's right.
Look what kind of fig she got, actually. Took a look. But regardless, so yeah, I think that ship's a good race. I mean, I know. And the other horse is that good horse of Cox's is supposed to run in the one around the impressive return at Oaklawn with like an 89 buyer. What's her? You told me your name.
Interstate Daydream.
There you go. And I think she's running against Ness that.
Yes.
Nick Cameron had a very funny tweet about yesterday. Somebody referred to her as a top contender, and I tend to agree with Nick that at this point she's not. And I think even Tom is saying right now she's got to run faster to be there, but she's been pretty good. Mercury's got an 83. I wouldn't get too excited about that. But yeah, I mean, there's at least fringe players, horses that could run a big race in the Ashland and make themselves players. So between potentially the Ashland and the Gazelle this week, and also there's that horse in California, right? What's her name? Baffert horse that was
Adair Manor.
There are no Baffert horses for a few months.
Adair Manor.
Yeah, right. She's running in the San Diego Oaks. So yeah, I know. I agree. This it's funny because like last year. And even Hidden Connection, who almost, you know, ran a better race than Echo Zulu. You can say Echo Zulu off the layup or not. Hidden Connection is, you know, and ran very well in that race and with a wide trip. So for a group that going into the Breeders' Cup last year was basically a horror show, has come together pretty strongly. I mean, let's be honest.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
Outside of Echo Zulu, it was like a wasteland behind her. And potentially that Kentucky Oaks could be a really, really terrific race.
Oh, we haven't even gotten to the essentially second tier types. You know, that runner up.
Well, not beating the top horses this year.
You wouldn't think.
The top horses are pretty good. You know, we're suddenly looking at a bunch of horses capable of running mid and not high 90 flyers at this point already for those fillies. The second tiers aren't beating them.
Well,
even Nest is going to have to prove herself to be a faster horse. Which she might, and even Cox's horses.
Yeah, well, right now,
return race.
Kathleen O, Echo Zulu, Secret Oath.
Where's that horse of Cherie's?
Which one? Three-year-old?
The horse that ran second in the spinaway that ran in the Breeders' Cup.
Oh, she's been ouchie. That's an ouchie filly.
That's Cherie.
I know who you mean.
She called me for help the other day, so she owes me one. No, that horse is pretty good. And I'm embarrassed I can't remember the horse's name. I could look it up if I wasn't lazy, but that horse was pretty good last year.
Oh, I can see the horse actually, and or the you know the name.
Well, if I really want, I'll look it up right now. I'll tell you the horse's names. I'm right in front of my computer, I can just look at the Breeders' Cup.
Look at you! You're
it's not that hard, Steve.
It's going to be
Friday or Saturday. The 2-year-olds ran Friday, right?
Saturday.
No, the 2-year-olds ran Friday, right?
Oh, you mean the Breeders' Cup?
Tarabi.
Tarabi, yeah. Yes.
I don't know, has Juju Map run? Juju's Map hasn't run either, right?
No. No, now that you mention it.
Yeah, I don't think she has. Okay. Anyway.
Well, that did we get a definitive answer? You think Echo Zulu favored over Kathleen O and
I don't have an affinity answer because I don't know, but I think she will. It's hard. It's very, very hard for her not to be favored. Very, very hard for her, don't you think? It's not like her return race was bad.
No.
It's not like she ran, you know, 76 and lost by two lengths. She ran well. She just was second best, and it wasn't as good as some of her other races. But that's not to say that she's not going to improve, and I'm sure she will improve. But I do think it ultimately with Echo Zulu, there is going to be a question of whether or not she's more of an acorn test type filly. And ultimately, I mean, maybe even run a race like the Breeders' Cup filly mare sprint, you know?
On that topic, Rudy Brissett opened the show with me, and he basically was saying, well, we have to run you, Geary, in the Oaks, but you could sense that
she's not good enough to beat those horses. And the other problem is that she's a forward. She's a problem for Echo Zulu because she needs to be in front to win.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Her best race. And they saw that. When they tried to rate her, she wasn't effective.
Yeah.
And they're more aggressive with her. She ran well. She's a good horse. And I don't think she should be, you know, just, I don't think she's quite as good as the best horses in those races. I think her running style and her sort of need to lead type may hurt her a little bit, but she's pretty good. And she's a bit of a thorn in the side for Echo Zulu. You know, she's, you say a second tier horse, she's somewhere between the first and second tier. And yeah, I mean, I'm sure that Rudy looks at a race like the Acorn and the Test as more suitable races. She might, you know, much sort of like a classic Causeway, she might be a little more comfortable stalking a race like that, not have to have the lead. By the way, she got into another horse that, you know, terrific ride by Flo, who you know,
yeah.
Think about him. He's not afraid to be aggressive with horses. And I think when he's an aggressive rider is when he's at his absolute best.
Fair point.
Yeah. You know, I hate to compliment him and, you know, build up his ego, but he's got a good sense of humor. So, but no, I thought he was the, you know, you want to know about the riding star of the weekend, I think was him winning both those big races and giving both horses exactly the ride they needed to win.
Tyler Gaffleone too. Gaffleone had a big day on Saturday.
Yeah,
he ran
Tyler's,
okay.
Well, Tyler's who did he win with? Is he right? Do you ride Gaffleone? No, Castellano does, right?
Castellano's got, but he won. Yeah. He won the Florida Derby. He won with Weyburn for Brendan Walsh, who we talked to earlier.
Oh yeah. What's Brendan going to do with him? Probably point him to the stake on Derby Day, right?
Yes. Although I brought up the Met, and he said if not the Churchill Downs, then the Westchester.
Oh, okay. Well, was he pointing prevalence the Churchill Downs?
No. Maybe prevalence runs this weekend in the Commonwealth. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Right.
Yeah, but he could still, you know, he could. But in the meantime, Andy, it's funny about Weyburn. Here's yet another, and Brendan did say he doesn't know if he's going to go back to Jimmy. He very well may be headed back to Jimmy Jerkins too. That's up in the air. But it's amazing how every weekend there's been another 4-year-old that has come back and flexed muscle.
I mean, yeah, Weyburn won the Gotham. I know it's kind of the wrong one for that, but
yep.
Very good performance in the Gotham. And, you know, I don't think he ran that badly at Monmouth this summer, right? Was he second somebody good, or maybe not? Maybe I'm wrong.
I've actually got it right here. I'll tell you right away.
Mandaloon or something? Didn't he run
he may have. Did, was in the
like the Long Branch or something?
Yeah, in the prep, the Pegasus. The Pegasus.
The real Pegasus. The actual. Well, it's not even the real Pegasus.
No, the real Pegasus is a...
It's a more real Pegasus. But in reality, it's more real than the Don, but it's, since it was originally a race, of course, at...
Monmouth. I mean, at Meadowlands. The Pegasus there, because, of course, of the dining room. In fact, I don't. Do you remember? By the way, this is funny.
Yeah, he got beaten in the neck by Mandaloo.
Yeah, in the Pegasus, exactly.
He didn't even run it badly in the Wood Memorial. It lost by 3 lengths on Ty used at speed. He actually ran well in it.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
He didn't run it badly in Jim Dandy.
No, he's
a Pennsylvania Derby. That's the only really bad race he ran after that.
Yeah, and well, he was on. He was sidelined
well,
from that
goes
point.
Back to Jimmy.
Against
Brendan.
He got a 1:02 Byron there. Speaking of some isolated performances to ask you about, how about Gaffo's comeback?
Yeah, I'm always go a little sad for me to see Christoph win a race, but it was an exception. I didn't see the race. I know he won. He's coming to Man of War. I'm looking forward. I'll be able to make fun of Christoph in person soon. That's always one of my favorite things to do.
So ridiculous. There was also, I am reminded too, because I brought it up yesterday, $22,182 in the cross country pick five, which was led off by acting out the Hollendorfer Art Sherman winner.
That's a tough one to put together. And I liked acting out more than you did. I can't believe she made 6-1. She was a lone speed. And they badly overbet the Frank's Rockhead.
Yes.
Doesn't
want to win.
A winning profile
nope.
for the last year or so.
Nope. She'd much rather run second.
She actually ran very well in there, to be honest. She ran
yeah, she did. Yeah, she did.
She got herself in a little bit of trouble and shuffled out a little bit.
Well, acting out 15:40. What was crazy about this was, as I said yesterday, Third choice.
It's 11:45. Don't you have somebody else?
Papo's going to come in to fill up, to close out, but hold on.
He's probably sitting by the phone, like, getting annoyed.
No, he's not. He's working. What about Uriah St. Louis, who just continues to win stakes?
Yeah, that horse ran really well, by the way. They scratched the inner speed, so he was right on top of the pace. Untreated, went by him, but he came back on to win. Obviously, the favorite was a disaster. He didn't break, and he rushed up. It was horrible. First Constitution. He's a cool horse.
St. Louis has had protracted success. As a horse player, if you bet him and you saw him extending his neck, and we should give credit to Haddock, who, you know, really rode him. I mean, you got your money's worth if you bet forward.
No, it was all good. I agree. He ran very well. I agree. Well, Sound Money won the lounge before him, also got 100 buyer.
Nice.
He's really improved this winter. Good thing they scratched him out of that $40 of two lifetime. Rather than a $40 of two lifetime, they scratched. Said, you know, he's worth more than 40. Let's run him in dollars of one first.
That's, which is smart. Very smart.
As long as very dumb.
Listen, it's a very fine line.
It's a razor's edge.
Exactly right. Exactly. The one person I have not had a chance to reach out and congratulate because he won a stake and with that firster was George Weaver, who seems to be kind of coming alive here. That Wish You Well won that 7/8 maiden race mid-card, if you want to call the 8th race mid-card, at Gulfstream, and won the Cutler Bay. I have not mentioned main events win on Saturday either. So George with a couple.
I think it was the horse you and I were talking about that we didn't like it all week before, or the time before. The horse ran a winning race, should have won, actually. The coinage got a perfect trip to beat him. I'm going to go, Steve.
Andy Serling.
I got a very, very big lunch date today.
Ooh.
Freddie Moe is on my lunch calendar for the day.
Outstanding. Well,
I really, get ready for, I do my best for Freddie.
All right. Well, I try to keep him in line. What's the over under on Jim?
No, he's been well behaved. That's why. he's being Jack these days.
Well, see you later. His Freddie Moe's namesake, the Freddie Moe Factor. I watched that race the other day. Was third, ran okay. So let's turn and let me reach Papo and close out what's been a busy morning. I couldn't get Jerry. We were this close yesterday, and it didn't happen. So, all right, we'll try again tomorrow. Tomorrow's the last. Usually Wednesday's the cutoff because by Thursday we're gonna be knee deep in PPs for this next big roundup of preps. Well, you got extensive early Derby thoughts from Andy there. For somebody who says he doesn't, care about the Derby until they draw the PPs, he certainly had a few thoughts. That was very clear. So let's close out the morning. Papo Morales, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
What was your impressions of the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, the Florida Derby, Guadabario, which is going off his last race, he fit on form to win. I was a little hesitant on him just because of the missed work.
Me too.
But he ran well. Charge it stretching out for the first time, taking off the pace. That was impressive. He was just green, Steve, and going to be a little light going into the Derby. So still a really good horse, but I'm not sure if his best performance will come the first Saturday in May. And then, race, I thought, had an interesting trip. Got caught in a little bit of a pace duel with that Papa Cap, and I think Ortiz probably could have sat a little bit further off and not made such a strong move coming turning for home, but I wasn't on the horse. So, and he honestly looked a little, I went back and watched the replay, he looked a little eager. I noticed Ortiz's feet. He was really trying to hold that horse back. So he relaxed in his last race in the Fountain of Youth, but the Florida Derby, he seemed like he was very much on the muscle. So I'll be, yeah, I think he still has a shot in the come Derby time, but we've still got some other preps. And then going out to Oaklawn, you know, I think we talked about Cyberknife and Barber Road on Friday, and that was kind of the exacto of the weekend.
Big time. Decent,
and Secret Oath finished a good third. So I thought it was solid racing all the way around, and I look forward to the rest of the preps the next 2 weeks.
Well, we should know, too, at Turfway, the form to win glance, I mean, granted it was a chalky result, but it pretty much was on the right horses.
Yeah, I mean, Peaks to the Bomb, I mean, Turfway, you know, he'll translate. That one will carry over to Churchill. He'll have to get faster. But he's a very competitive horse. And I heard you talking briefly about the Oaks with Andy Serling. And I haven't really lost enthusiasm for Brett Calhoun's horse, Hidden Connection. I think that horse could be a sleeper. I mean, she's going to have to improve, but she didn't lose anything in defeat last time out at Fairgrounds, and she likes Churchill. She's already got a win there, so I think going into the Oaks, I'll keep my eye on her also.
You know, you made me, by mentioning Hidden Connection, and we're certainly going to be anxious to see, you know, just how much speed is going to line up, and you know, much more, and this thing really will set up nicely for a off the pace confrontation potentially between Secret Oath and Kathleen O. But how quickly, Papo, is it possible after this weekend to have some form to win, you know, kind of a specialty grouping of the leading point getters for the Oaks and Derby? How quickly can we start playing around, do you think? Is that something that the programmers could make happen way in advance?
Yeah, I can reach out to them. I mean, at this point, I think you can. I mean, we still got a couple preps to run, obviously, over the next 2 weeks, but I know personally I've gotten my eyes on five or six horses, and the rest are kind of going to be underneath at this point, unless I see some drastic improvement over the next 3 weeks leading up to the Derby. And of course, I like to see how they work over the track and make sure they look solid. But yeah, I'll talk to them. I'll talk to Alex and the crew. I got a meeting with them tomorrow and see if we could start pulling some individual statistics for some of these Derby horses, kind of see where they fit. Yeah, shouldn't be too much of a problem, Steve.
That'd be great. And because it'll be a lot of fun. People can play around and get an idea. And I mean, it. When you do look at the big full fields elsewhere, particularly on the Asian front, Australia and Hong Kong, it'll be fun to see how a 14, you know, the 14 horse field and you know, 20 horse field, how they might, you know, right away get an idea of how the algorithm views this group.
Yeah, and I will say, Steve, when we start getting to Derby, the filters that you should be using will be a mile and an eighth and up. Just look at, I mean, I don't, the mile and 16th performance, I think those performances can get a little bit diluted as the distances increase. So I'll only be looking at mile and an eighth performances. I mean, also factor in the form how they performed at a mile and a 16th. But there's a big difference between a mile and a 16th and a mile and a quarter. And I'd rather look at their performance going a mile and an eighth.
Which actually, that's another question that I don't think I've broached with you. when it comes to horses that are stretching out, not just for Derby to a, you know, to an unknown distance, but at any, you know, at any stretch out, when you set the parameter, is there regression analysis in terms of how a horse's speed is viewed? Does it project to that degree? I mean,
So you will actually be able to get a little bit of data on the stretch out, but I don't. A mile and a quarter is a little bit different. You can apply the speed factor stretching out from, you know, a mile to a mile and a sixteenth, and even six furlongs to a mile, as long as it's one turn. But a mile and a quarter animal is just a different animal than an animal that's going to, you know, run better at say a mile and a sixteenth.
Well, because we, you know, as we've established essentially in you know, discussing form to wins strengths, because, you know, because there's really nothing to go on, the more information and the more, you know, the more PPs there are, the stronger the, you know, the algorithm can, you know, filter result. So, you know, looking ahead to a, you know, to another half furlong in, or furlong in most cases, you know, we will have as many as three or even four that have gone a mile and 3/16.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, that will definitely be helpful. But obviously the more data that we have, because it's purely data driven. There's none of my personal opinion factored into any of this. I mean, it may be in terms of the filter that I use, but it's all based off purely speed, and speed doesn't always win, but speed can give you a good idea of who can win, and that's what the app is made to identify.
Form to Win, and download two free races a day, and just play around. You settings and poke around. All the bells and whistles, and we're waiting. We are waiting patiently for.
Yes, I'm waiting patiently. I'm working on now getting the Form to Win to where it integrates with Amwager. So if I identify horses on Form to Win, and I place I can place the bet through Form to Win, and it will go through Amwager. So that's the last thing that I'm working on now. But we're hoping within the next 10 days we'll have at least the version out that we're happy with now. And we're still building a pace. I'm building a pace logarithm into it. But it'll be much improved from the current version and much better on a mobile device. We hope to have that out here in the next 10 days.
Sweet. And the visuals, you know, as you can see, when I put up, you know, a snapshot of a race versus Papo's snapshots, the new kind of softer tones and you know, the color scheme and so forth, a little, it seems easier to read. I'm looking forward to being able to wait along with everybody else.
Right. And just a reminder, Steve, that it does have, so when you're on Form to Win, it's not just one track, it's every track in North America, including Woodbine, as well as the Asian Pacific. So that's all available, and we're working on getting the UK form. You know, they don't have fractional times, but we're working with the PA over there to get that data. So it's, you know, it's basically every track performance for every track, hopefully that's running, and that's the goal.
Outstanding. All right. Soon enough, we're going to have more details and other exciting things to throw at everybody. Form to Win. At the App Store and at formtowin.com, and Amwager, of course, as well. Papa, you got anything for today? You got a play?
No, I was looking around, Steve, but I didn't have. It's, you know, it's raining here in Kentucky, and I wasn't sure what it was doing at parks, and so I didn't look at anything just yet. I do find anything, I'll post it. I'll post it online.
Well, and your options, Papa mentioning parks, Mahoning Valley today as well, Louisiana Downs, Turf Paradise, and Will Rogers. your limited options for a Tuesday. Papo Morales, Papo Core One, everybody. Form to win an AM wager. Talk Friday. We'll certainly have some interesting plays to look at on Friday.
Yeah, Steve, I'll have to just post them online. I won't be able to talk Friday. I've got some wedding stuff I need to take care of Friday morning.
How close is the wedding?
A little over 2 months out.
Nice. All right.
85 days, if you want exactly the day count. But,
all right. 85 days till Papo's marriage. And
it's coming up quick, so I've got to take care of some this Friday morning.
Well, it's also 100 days to Saratoga too. So
This is true.
You know, cross off the days leading up. I love it. Thanks, Papo.
Talk to you later, Steve.
Papo Core One, everybody, and form to win an AM wager. There you go. Thanks to Papo and Andy. Keith Shamlin in hour two and Alan Foreman who gave us some legal jurisprudence 101. Brendan Walsh and Rudy Brissett. Good luck if you're playing today. Back tomorrow, Wednesday. Sid, Sire Watch, Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hillendale, plus HKJC with Dick Powell. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you in the morning.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning. Learn more at countrylifefarm.com.
Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day of the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series. Yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
Your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.